If you will, turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We preached messages here recently on Jesus is our light and Jesus is our peace. We want to look at this this morning here in John chapter 14 as our starting verse and to get our consideration for this morning. Our Lord Jesus is here with his disciples, and he is dealing with them and looking to help them as he goes to his crucifixion, the fulfillment of his gospel. He has taught them, he has showed them the things that he is going to do, and they don't have a clear understanding of that. They have heard the words that he said, but they've just not understood it and put it together. And so here, in this chapter in John, the Gospel of John chapter 14, he starts off in this chapter, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He tells about where he's going, what he's going to do, and the place he's going to prepare for his own, and that he, having done so and having prepared a place, will bring us to be with him. And he tells here in verse number 4, "And whither I go, ye know. Where I'm going, you know, and the way, you know." And then Thomas, he speaks up here and says, "We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way if we don't know where you're going?" Jesus answered and said unto him, verse number 6, "I am the way. I am the way." He says also there that he's the truth and the life. He says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so if you would imagine in your minds this way, there is a way that leads into the Father, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning with the Lord's help, I want to preach a message, Jesus is our way. Jesus is our way. I want to make it more personal than just saying that he is the way, because if you're here and you're saved, you know that Jesus is your way. And if you're here and you're not saved, we pray that the Lord would convict you and show you your great need, that the way that you're on and the path that you're on is not a way to life, to light, to help, to peace. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is all these things. As we take a look in the book of Acts, I want you to turn over here to Acts chapter 9. And there's this mention in the book of Acts about this very thing. We see here in Acts chapter 9, this man that has come on the scene. His name is Saul. He's from a city named Tarsus there in Syria. And He is busy, and he is doing some things. They've stoned Stephen, Brother Stephen, a deacon in the first church there at Jerusalem, and they've killed him. He's given great testimony, a wonderful message that he's preached in this chapter about the Lord bringing the Savior, and that it's that the Lord Jesus is indeed the redemption of Israel, and for sinners, all sinners, the only way of salvation. And they kill him for it. And we see in chapter 8 Acts that it says here, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." And at that time, there was great persecution against the church. We come to chapter 9, and we see, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus," up in Syria, "to the synagogues there, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." So there's this way that these people are following. It's a way that is very simple from the outside, from the fleshly, from the carnal looking on at this, and it's a way of words. It's a way of thoughts and thinking. It's a way of belief. And it's all based and founded on this person. There's not the great building of anything physically. There's not a great movement to overthrow the government. There's not a great movement to take the Judaism and the leaders in Judaism and have them cast out. These people that are following in this way, they cleave unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They claim that he is risen from the dead. And they say that their trust and their help and their forgiveness and the taking away of their sins is all found in this man. And that's just what they keep telling over and over again. Words, faith, pursuit. They deny the things of Judaism, that it's something that they need to do to follow in, because the Lord has answered all those things for them. And the Lord has not taken only his gospel and through the Lord Jesus and this way of salvation that he's made fully manifest. It's not only to Israel, but it's into all men, Jews and Gentiles alike. The institution that has been left is this thing that they hold to that's called the church. The church, the assembly, the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Followers. These people don't even have a building or a place or real estate, but they meet together and they sing unto the Lord and they worship the Lord and they read out of the Old Testament scriptures about how Jesus is the answer of all those things. This way, that way. And so Saul of Tarsus is looking for them. He's looking for them at Damascus. We come over here to chapter 19 of Acts, and we see here in this chapter and during the third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, this man Saul was saved, and we'll see about that here in scriptures to come. He's been saved, been totally changed. That way that he persecuted now is the way that he follows and is found in. It's the way that he tells others about. All of it based on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here in chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, at Ephesus for 2 years. And we see here in verse number 9 of this chapter where the scripture says, "And when divers were hardened," different ones there hearing his preaching, "were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude." Said, this is no way to go. Don't follow after this Jesus of Nazareth. Don't follow after these nuts and these crazies and what they want to do. We've got an established religion here. They were hardened. They spake evil of that way before the multitude. Paul departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And so there he taught. We see there in Acts 19, verses 11 through 20, about the sons of Sceva. We were talking to someone about this recently, how it was that these saw the healing and the ability that the Lord had given his apostle, the apostle Paul. And how they wanted that. And they claimed that. These demons were in this one. These sons of Sceva sought to throw them out and to relieve that person of them. And those demons spoke out and said, "Well, we know the Lord Jesus Christ and we know Paul, but we don't know you." And they beat up on them. They came out and whipped up on them. But we see in verse number 18 here, and the effect of this way upon this city of Ephesus. In verse 18, "And many that believed came and confessed, showed their deeds." They were repentant. "Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together of this wickedness and this witchcraft and sorcery and stuff that they pursued, this devil worship, and that they brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." It prevailed in the hearts of people. And they were saved and they were changed. And they were brought to follow and walk in this way that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the riot that ensues there in Ephesus in Acts 19, verses 21 through 41. That riot where the silversmiths became greatly offended because their craft was in jeopardy, and they were going to lose money because people are taking and melting down their little shrines to Diana and doing something else with it, getting rid of it and all that. It says in Acts 19:23, "And the same time there arose no small stir about that way," the way that is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the way." They're following after the Lord Jesus. In chapter 20 of Acts, we come to this chapter and we see in verses 1 through 6, Paul in Macedonia and Greece. And then in verses 16 or 7 through 16, we see that Eutychus is raised from the dead when he fell out of the window in that late night preaching time that they had. In Acts 20, 17 through 38, Brother Paul, he speaks to the Ephesian elders and brethren there at Ephesus and warns them of some things and challenges them and admonishes them in some things. And then in chapter 21, we come here and in verses 1 through 16, Brother Paul goes to Jerusalem as he was convicted and persuaded of the Lord that he should do. And this chapter, in chapter 21, verses 17 through 26, he visits Brother James, the apostle, and fellowships with him. And then in chapter 21, verses 27 through 36, we see that in false accusation, Brother Paul is arrested in the temple. And what we want to do in this account, we just want to give that review to bring us up to this time and those events leading up to it. We want to see what our brother says about this way, the way that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that if you have your Bibles or read along, if you don't have your Bibles, listen closely. Listen to the testimony that our brother gives about this way that is the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, being a persecutor of this way, is now a follower and one that walks in this way, following this person, our Lord Jesus Christ, and see what he has to testify regarding such. He is taken, and Brother Paul, as he's being beaten, it says there, they're beating him, and chapter 21, let me get caught up with you here. He says they're beating Paul there in verse number 32. The soldiers and the centurions from the fortress of Antonia looking over there at the temple. They're able to monitor that. That was all. They constructed that fortress, we understand historically, so they could look over into the temple area and keep track, because with the Jews, that's where it starts. The trouble's at the temple. And so here they're beating Paul, having falsely accused him. And this chief captain comes and rescues him. And in verse number 37, the scripture says, "And as Paul was led into the castle," that would be the fortress of Antonia, "he said unto the chief captain." Now this, I've always read this myself to think that this man would be less than a centurion, but he is over centurions, maybe even a tribune, as would be called. This is a more like a, you and I would understand to be a general. He's a man of station, and he may be the officer over the fortress of Antonia. He said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek?" And he asked Paul, "Can you speak Greek? Art thou not that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" Hey, he misunderstood Paul for another man. And Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak to the people." You know what? This man, having been convicted by this way and the one of this way, wants to do, he wants to use every opportunity he has to proclaim the way unto others, especially his countrymen. That's part of him coming to Jerusalem, is he has a burden for his countrymen. We read about some things that he says in the book of Romans regarding such. He says, let me talk to him, please. These are the people that have been beating him and would have killed him. He has forgiven them, hasn't he? Immediately. He has an interest in their souls. He doesn't care what they have done to him. He has an interest in their souls. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying. And so we come to chapter 22, and he says this. The way. Jesus says, I am the way. Here's what the brother says about this way that is our Lord. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make unto you now. Now make now unto you. And when they had heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death. I used to take people and want them to be killed and be executed because they followed in this way that I'm following, in this way that I am telling you about. Binding and delivering into prisons, both men and women, it didn't matter. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished, said, you can ask the leadership of the Jews, they know me. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Now understand, anyone saved in this day, because we have this full canon of Scripture from our Lord, is not going to see a bright light and is not going to hear the audible voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, but will, by conviction from the Lord, hear Him. It is the Lord that convicts. It is the Lord that reveals sin. It is our Lord that calls. And He opens the heart and shows and reveals Himself, the need of the sinner, and the salvation that's only found in Him, the way. And you know what what the brother is doing about telling us and them about the way? He's telling them about when he met the Lord Jesus. And that's what each one needs to do. That's what needs to happen for each one, each sinner that is without Christ. You need to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling. That's what we have to tell about the way, is what the Lord has done for us and the way of salvation that he, by which he has saved us. And there were, and verse number 9, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Because see, it's personal. It's between you and the Lord. Even being pastor of one of the Lord's churches, I can't do this for you. I can only tell you about the one that can, and that is able, and that is calling, whose message we preach and whose gospel we preach. And we beg you and beseech each one that they would hear and believe and repent and trust in our Lord Jesus. But we cannot do it for you. But I tell you what, you must take it up with him, because it is a very real thing, this pressing of this way. You know what this way is going to do? Like the Lord said, like the Lord said, it's going to go in this way. It's going to be manifested, and the kingdom of our Lord is going to be manifested to be the kingdom of all eternally. So it's coming. It's coming. And if you're here and you're not saved, you need to be ready for it. And you can be ready only through our Lord. It's personal. Verse 10, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? There's an immediate desire to obey and to follow the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest, number one, know his will. And I tell you what, for those that the Lord saves, that's what he wants. That's the design, is for each and every one to know his will. How can we know it? Right here in this book. Number two, that you might see the just one. Now, Brother Saul, on the road to Damascus, saw that bright light. And he saw the brightness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was necessary for the Lord's use of him. You and I won't see anything with our eyes. There's no bright flashing light, no fireworks or booms or cracklings that go off. But I tell you what, by faith, sinners repentant and believing and trusting on Jesus Christ, by faith, see the Lord Jesus Christ having died, being buried, and risen again for them. And number three, and should us hear the voice of his mouth. To hear the call and working of the Lord in the life of the one that he has saved. To know his will, to see him, to see the just one, and hear the voice of his mouth. Verse number 15, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. See there? He said you're going to be a witness of what you've seen and what you've heard. From what you've seen with your eyes and heard with your ears, what you've seen by faith, you're going to be a witness of these things to all men. Verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He says here, now get up, be baptized in obedience to the Lord. Join this church that is here in Damascus. I mean, that's very, very clear. And follow in the calling of the Lord. He says here, it says, wash away thy sins. The sins are not washed away by baptism, but it's a symbology of that which has been done. The washing, the gospel applied to the sinner. And be obedient to the Lord. And that's the message that we are to preach. Sinners are to repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord saves your soul. You're to follow him. And baptism and church membership to serve him and learn of him and worship him in the way that he's designed. And so this is what has come unto Brother Paul, this way. And he says, and it came to pass, verse 17, that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. This is early on in Brother Paul's saved life, Brother Saul's saved life. He came to Jerusalem early on, but the Lord told him it's too early. There needs to be some proving of your ministry. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not against them. I'm for them. I'm not against them. I'm with them. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, he used to say that Stephen was a no good, sorry Nazarite. But now he says he's a martyr. That's what the way does, is it changes sinners' hearts. It bends them, it bends us and turns us to the will and the thinking and the way of the Lord. Stephen was a no good scoundrel when he stood there and held the coats of those that stoned him. But now he says he was your martyr. He was one that gave testimony of you in life and in death. And that's what this way will cause folks to do. I tell you what, an evaluation of this way is a very soul-searching affair. Consider what the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way. Look at what it's done to these people. They are willing, from the human standpoint, from the worldly looking on at them, they are willing to give their lives for a pack of words. But from their standpoint, they are willing to give their lives for faith in Christ and for their Savior who gave himself for them. I tell you what, it's something how fine the line is and how convicting the way is. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, kill him, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And so Brother Paul speaks unto those folks that were there, and he said unto me, depart, verse 21, for I will send thee hence to the Gentiles. Well, those that were listening there, as Paul spoke from those steps of the fortress of Antonia, they wanted nothing to do with him. They wanted nothing to do with this way. They said, away with this man, put him to death, kill him, we'll suffer it no more. In Acts 22, verses 22 through 29, we see Brother Paul and the chief captain, Claudius Lysias, that is there. And I wonder about this man. I wonder if we won't see this man in glory. This man certainly seemed to be touched by his encounter with the Apostle Paul. We don't know anything from the scriptures, but he was sensitive to those things that were there. He saw that the man had done nothing guilty of being put to death in his opinion, and he sought to try to reconcile this between Paul and the Jews and such as that. We see in verse number 30 here in chapter 22, and on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he's accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. He tried to get it straightened out between them and the Sanhedrin, if we understand. In chapter 23, we see this meeting before the council, and we again see what Paul declares regarding this way that is the Lord Jesus. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, see, and look how he desires them. He wants a good thing for them. He doesn't discount that they're brethren by being Jews together, but he impleads them and speaks kindly unto them, desiring a good thing for them. They've sought to kill him. How would I be towards somebody that looked to try to kill me and rough me up the way that they did him? I pray that the Lord would help that we might be tender to them and giving of the gospel in this way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Early beholding the council said, men and brethren, I've lived a good conscience before God until this day. He says, I'm content with where I am. I'm content and what the Lord has done. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth, to slap him. And then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? Paul offers a rebuke here, and what the high priest commanded to be done. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, I didn't know it was the high priest that spoke. He thought it was one of the elders, evidently. I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. This way causes one to be obedient to the word of God in every way. He said, I didn't know it was the high priest that spoke. I didn't know. But when Paul perceived that the one were part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question." And so he brings this up about the resurrection, knowing it would stir up the Sadducees and it would gain the favor of the Pharisees. And we're going to see something about this later on. But listen to what the way brings out. Hope of resurrection. The hope of resurrection, because Jesus rose from the dead, his people will raise from the dead. His children will raise from the dead. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God." And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, Claudius Lysias cares about Paul's well-being. And when another riot is going to break out, he goes in and rescues him, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by Paul and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem," like the Lord had convicted him to do. Remember, I trust you know in the scriptures here in Acts, that there were brethren even speaking by the Spirit, by the claiming that they were speaking by the Spirit of God, telling Paul, "Don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you." Prophets. They're the prophet that held his girdle and said, "They're going to kill the man. They're going to bind the man that has this, whose girdle this is." And the girdle belonged to Paul. And they of Ephesus begged him and pleaded him and were sad to hear that they would not see him ever again because he was going to go to Jerusalem. This way will bring conviction about things in the service of our Lord that will not make sense to the natural man. That's what the way does. The way that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, "Have you testified of me in Jerusalem? So you will do so in Rome." So we come in this chapter, in chapter 23, and there's a plot to kill Paul. Brother Paul is sent to Felix, the governor, ultimately in Caesarea. And then in chapter 24, we see here that Paul speaks before Felix, the governor of that region, the governor of Judea. There's a man, Tertullus, that speaks, and he's an orator. He's been brought in by those that are against Paul to try to implead the governor and to seek his favor against this man. They want him dead. They want him killed, but they can't do so in the way things have developed. And so we see here before Felix when it's Paul's opportunity to speak about this way. It says here in verse number 10 of chapter 24, "Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, 'For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself.'" And that's what the way will cause one to do, is to give an answer of good things in our Lord. "Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my father." We worship our Lord. We worship God Almighty, God the Father, in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the way is all about. It's all in Him. It's not about our religious order. It's not about a creed. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about what our Lord has done, what our Lord has instructed us, our praise and honoring and glorying of our Lord. This way causes us, and the way that is Him, by that we seek to worship Him in all that He has done for us. After the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. You know what he's saying? Everything in the Old Testament's true. Everything in the Old Testament is valid. Everything in the Old Testament points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there should be a resurrection of the dead. We've got hope of the resurrection, both of the just and the unjust. All will live somewhere. The children of God with Him, and the unsaved in hell in the lake of fire forever. Verse 16, and wherein do I exercise myself? To have always a conscience void of offense toward God and men. He said, I don't want to be an offense to anybody. I want to be a help. I want to be a witness of the way unto all. Now, after that many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. He said, I wasn't causing a ruckus. Who ought to have been here before thee to and object if they had aught against me? They should have shown up here to testify against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me, well, I stood before the council. And so when I was there before the council in Jerusalem, let them say, what I did was wrong. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question by you this day. He said, I really wish I hadn't have done that in Jerusalem to stir them up that way. Because when I took them and I divided them by this thing that I knew would divide them, I think that we can understand this. I lost the audience to be able to witness to them of Christ. He said, I regret that. I'm sorry for that. You know what the way will do? The way will cause us to see the way that is the Lord Jesus will cause us to see our error and our misgivings, our mistakes, our sins, our failures, and ask forgiveness of the Lord. He's promised and faithful to forgive His children and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us to do well going forward. It'll cause us to look to our Lord. That's what the way will do. Not to look to self, but look to our Lord. And so Brother Paul speaks before Felix. And we see here that Felix keeps him and is waiting for a bribe. And we look here in verse 22 of chapter 24. It says here, and when Felix heard these things, having a more perfect knowledge of that way, he understood more about Paul's position and situation, he deferred them, the Jews that came up, and said, when Lysias, that is the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. He said, I need more information. You Jews go home. There's nothing wrong with what this man has done. He's just believing. He's believing and following and practicing. He's not stirring up insurrection. He's not against you. He's just believing and following in this way that he claims. It says here in chapter 25 that Paul would go and meet with Felix often. And what Paul would do was this. He reasoned with Felix and Drusilla, his wife, of righteousness. Of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness required by God. The righteousness that sinners need that we do not have. Of temperance, of self-control, because we are willful and wayward naturally and sinners indeed before God, and we need help and self-control. And all that, he preached unto him of judgment to come, that God will judge the unsaved. God will judge the unrepentant and the unbelieving. And God will judge his children too. He will judge. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And so We see that Paul testifying of the way that is Jesus led him and compelled him to preach and reason with this man and his wife of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Because it's the very thing that the Lord has dealt with him about. It's the very thing that the Lord has dealt with us, we who are saved, about. That's what this way does. That's what this way is that we need another's righteousness, and we need to be self-controlled and serve him, and we need to look forward to that judgment seat of Christ. And he, serving his Lord, wants to be found faithful in obedience to the Lord in every way. Well, in time, Felix is out and Festus is appointed governor. We see this in chapter 25. And in verses 7 through 12, Brother Paul stands and speaks before the new governor, Festus. In chapter 25 of Acts, "And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, just like the Lord Jesus. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Will thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Will you go back to Jerusalem and be judged of that?" Festus is looking to get in good with the Jews. "Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die." Look at that. He's not trying to get out of dying. He says, if I'm guilty, I should. But we all in this room know that I'm not guilty of doing anything against the Jews. You know it. They know it. I know it. He said, I appeal to Caesar. This has become a civil matter. This has nothing to do with the Jews. And he appeals to Caesar. And that is the working of the Lord to get him to Rome. And so it goes on to say in verse number 11, "But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar." Verse 12, "Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go." You know what? Where would you want to go? Have the Roman government behind you, being a Roman and going to Jerusalem and seeing that these things are just going to fall off and everything's going to be okay, and you might have to run and be in fear of the Jews in subversion killing you. But as far as this legal issue in Jerusalem, it can be dropped. But no, the Lord's told him he's going to Rome. He appeals to Caesar. He's going to a place he's never been. And you know what? That's what the way will do to the children of God. It'll cause us to submit to the will of the Lord in our lives. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. Jesus could have avoided the cross. But for our sakes, he did not. I thank you for your patience. I want us to come on down here to chapter 26. Festus is in a quandary about what to write concerning Caesar, or write to Caesar concerning Paul. He has appealed unto Caesar. And so Festus appeals to Herod Agrippa, the king from amongst the Jewish nation there, for help unto what to write unto him. And so in chapter 26 of Acts, we see yet Paul's answer for his faith in Christ Jesus before Agrippa. Listen closely, please. You've been patient. Listen. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul," chapter 26, verse 1 of Acts, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee, I beg thee, to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. They know it. That's the history. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made to God and to our fathers of everlasting life, unto which promise our 12 tribes, innocently serving God day and night, hope to come. We're looking for it to be. They were looking for Messiah and have missed him, but they're looking for him to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. For this very hope that they claim, I am accused. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Why is that incredible? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, that's the life that I lived. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison. Look how he refers to them now, not scoundrels, but saints. That's what the way does to us. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. Having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I testified against them wrongly and wickedly. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, to go against the way that the Lord had given them and saved them by, that is Jesus. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks of the truth of my word being preached by my children. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now Paul, Saul, had never seen Jesus in the flesh as he walked on this earth, only maybe as a youth. But Saul going around persecuting and killing and delivering up the saints of the Lord says, You're persecuting me. Praise God. Praise the Lord for his claim of his children. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes. I'm sending you as a witness that their eyes might be open, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus says, I am the way. Faith in him and him alone. Whereupon, O Agrippa, verse 19, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet or showing that they have repented. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore attained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and the Moses did say should come, the scripture, and that's what the way will do, is testify of the word of God, old and new, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles also. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, But he said, I am not mad. I'm not insane. Most noble Festus, he's very respectful because he has a desire even for this man's soul. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. That's what the way has. That's what the way of Jesus is. That is Jesus. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also freely speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things were hidden from him. For this thing regarding Jesus of Nazareth was not done in a corner. It is known. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, not only you, Agrippa, but also all that hear me this day, Agrippa, Bernice, Festus, everybody here in this court, that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, saved and walking in this way that is the Lord Jesus, except being bound up by these chains. The way. I tell you what, I know it's a lot of reading, but is it not packed full of the definition of the way that is our Lord? It sure is. Is it not a testimony, an example of the way that is our Lord? I tell you what, it sure is. And may the Lord help us as his children. May the Lord help us as his children to walk in this way that is our Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus is the example. The Lord Jesus is the instructor. The Lord Jesus is the truth and the help of it. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, unto us, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.